This morning, I wanted to begin by reading a passage of scripture from the book of Exodus. Way back in your Bible, in the book of Exodus, chapter 5, just a few verses. It's part of a much larger story that if I was to read that, it would probably take the whole morning and then some. But I just want to read a little portion of that for you this morning from Exodus chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. And I think you'll catch on pretty quick. It says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. Let's just pray before we continue. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning, and it is our prayer, Lord God, as we look into your word, and Lord, as we open our hearts to your word, Father, that you would speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the years, I've come to learn that there are usually two ways to accomplish something. You've probably discovered this as well. There's the easy way, and there's the hard way. Isn't that the way it works? It was just a few months ago, perhaps after I had completed at least 99% of the framing of the house that I'm building in Tagish. 99% of the framing has been done. And what do? I go out and I buy an air nailer. Doesn't make any sense at all. There was a few pieces of wood above my head that I had to put in. And it was like, I just give up. I'm going to get an air nailer. And so after all that other work, pounding nails by hand, again, you know, I just on and on and on. After all the doing it the hard way, I finally clued in that, you know, maybe I should just get myself an air nailer and make things a little bit easier. When someone does things the hard way, you wonder why. Why would they do it the hard way? Interestingly, there's times when God likes to do things the hard way. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, that's the situation that we were reading about, and that's recorded in the book of Exodus, when God was going to bring the Israelites up out of Egypt. The Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for 430 years. For 430 years, they lived in misery, in oppression, with trouble. For 430 years, they've been crying out to God to help them. And God sees their misery, and he decides that the time has come for him to do something about it. It was time to get the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land, something that they've been anticipating for generations. Well, this is great news. It was welcome news. It would be something that the people would be excited about or should be excited about. And you would think that it would be easy for God to do this. Now, if I were doing the planning for God, if God had hired me to, you know, be his planner, which I'm not, and it's a good thing, I would put down on a piece of paper or on a big whiteboard, you know, in heaven, what the objective was. And I would write down in big letters the objective, as I said, to get the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land. Okay, I would write that down, and then I would figure out the quickest and easiest way to doing that. I might have softened Pharaoh's heart. and convince them that he needs to let the people go. Maybe I would have spoken to Pharaoh in a dream and convinced him that it's in his best interest to let the people go. I might have thought of a whole number of things, and maybe you'd think of something too. Some creative ways where God could have very easily made it so that the Israelites would be set free out of Egypt. Maybe I'd send some advisors to Pharaoh to give him some counsel on why this would be a good idea. I mean, it's not unreasonable that God could do this. I mean, surely he could. Surely if God was able to convince a king to feed their enemies and let them go, which is another story, surely he could convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. I mean, surely God could have done that. The Israelites would go. They'd get to the promised land. Boom, done, next. What's next on my checklist for this century, you know? Easy. Would have been. But no. No. That's too easy for God. Instead of softening Pharaoh's heart, what does God do? At least four times in the book of Exodus, it says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Imagine that. Like, what are you trying to do? And poor Moses. Aren't you glad you weren't Moses? I mean, he didn't want the job in the first place. He goes to Pharaoh time and time again. And then comes plague after plague. And each time, instead of convincing Pharaoh that it was time to let the people go, what happens? God hardens Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh gets stubborn and says, nope, they're not going. Talk about doing things the hard way. Meanwhile, Moses is at his wit's end. I mean, he's obeyed the Lord. He's gone and spoken with the Pharaoh several times. And every time he speaks to the Pharaoh, it gets worse. The Pharaoh doesn't want to see him anymore. The average Egyptian citizen, he's suffering because of the plagues. They had nothing to do with it even. The Israelites, well, they were being oppressed more and more because the Pharaoh's getting more and more upset. And they're fed up with Moses. And Moses is losing the confidence of his people. And frustrated and confused, Moses finally cries out to the Lord, where we read earlier, "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people. And you have not rescued your people at all." Can you hear the cry in Moses' heart? He's saying, God, what are you doing? Why did you send me? Maybe he's even saying, God, why are you making this difficult? Instead of being rescued, Exodus chapter 6, verse 9 speaks about the discouragement and the cruel bondage that the Israelites endured. Nobody was happy. And the worst part of it was that it would seem that God could have so easily done things differently. And if you're like me, maybe you've wondered why. Why did God do things the hard way? And what Moses didn't realize at the time was that God indeed had a purpose in all of this. Of course, God could have let the Israelites out the easy way. I mean, he could have made all the Egyptians go into a deep sleep, for that matter. You know, they probably needed a good rest. Who doesn't like to sleep in a little bit, right? You know, God could have just made all the Egyptians fall asleep and not wake up for 48 hours or 72 hours or however long that he needed. And the Israelites could have all just packed up quietly. No fuss, no muss, no boils, no frogs, no water turning into blood, no nothing, all this other stuff. And they could have just left. How convenient. God could have done a thousand different things, but he didn't. And the reason why God didn't do things that way, the reason why he did do things the hard way, was because he wanted the Egyptians and everyone else to understand, to come to the understanding that he alone was the true God. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 5, the Lord says, "And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out." It seems that in this particular case, God did things the hard way so that the people would be convinced that it was God who was moving. It was God, the God of Israel, who is all powerful. It's the same reason why God let only 300 soldiers fight alongside Gideon. It's a completely different story, but Gideon gathered up 30,000 men to fight the enemy. But God said, "We don't want 30,000 men. You know, talk about doing things the hard way. You know, if I was going into a battle, I 30,000 would be nice." But God says, "No, no, 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 no. That's too easy. Let's cut it down to 300. And off they go. And the whole point of that was that if Gideon won a battle with 30,000 men, I mean, who would get the credit? Anyone could win a battle with 30,000 men. But when Gideon defeats an army with 300 men, then it becomes pretty obvious that somebody greater than Gideon is involved in this. And similarly, God let Moses go through all the trouble of dealing with Pharaoh so that when the time was right, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that Moses heard and spoke to, would be known throughout the land. Look at the message that God gave Pharaoh through Moses in Exodus chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. It says, "For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with the plague that would have wiped you off the earth." God could have done it. "But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." So while Moses is fretting about the people getting annoyed with him, God has a much bigger picture in mind. And the truth is, we tend to think small. We look at the small scale, the immediate. We see our pain, and it's very real. We see our turmoil. We see our frustration. We see all of everything in here and now, in the present time, right in front of us. And for us, that's everything, because that's all we can see. That's all we have. But God sees and understands so much more. And if there's a lesson in this for us, and I believe there is, it's that sometimes God does do things the hard way, but he does it the hard way because he has a reason and he sees things differently than we do. Now, of course, that's not necessarily an easy comfort for us. As humans, we would love for things to go as smoothly as possible. Who wouldn't? I would. No friction. That'd be nice, right? No disappointment. No rejection. No suffering. Wouldn't that be great? I agree. It would be great. And yet we know that it is through trials, through the hard way, that we are strengthened and sometimes even blessed. James wrote, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I would suggest to you this morning that it's precisely because God cares for us that he does things the hard way. Truth is, even Jesus took the hard way. You remember, he was in the garden, he was praying, and he cried out to God. If there's, essentially what he was praying was, "God, if there's an easier way to do this, I'm in for that. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He did it the hard way because he loves us, because he loves you. He did it the hard way because he wanted to redeem us from our sin, from our selfishness. And if God does it the hard way, it's no surprise that he allows us to go through the hard things or the hard way as well. He knows that it is often through struggles that the greatest lessons of life are learned. And it is often through those struggles that we develop the capacity to care for others. And what Moses learned and what we need to understand is that there is nothing safe or easy about following God's call. It's risky business. Just ask John the Baptist as one of many examples. But what we also learn that when we respond to God's call, and if he chooses to do things the hard way, he will also give you the strength to accomplish his will. There are times when my children were younger and they would ask the question, you know, "Dad, what would you do if, you know, in some horrendous, difficult situation, you know?" And often I would answer, "Well, if that time ever came, I trusted God would give me the strength and the grace to do what was right at that time. Do I have that strength at that ahead of time? No. But I pray that if that time ever came, I would." Likewise, he will give you the strength and the grace to accomplish his will. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 is a very familiar chapter. It talks about the heroes of the faith, the people of faith who had received many great blessings. But Hebrews chapter 11 also talks about people who faced incredible hardship, who suffered incredible cruelty. And the scripture says very clearly that they too were commended for their faith, even though they didn't see the results of their faith. They still trusted in God just the same, and because of that, they are listed among the heroes of the faith. We don't always understand why God allows us to face things the hard way. Why he does things the hard way in our lives. But I wanted to encourage you this morning that the next time you're wondering why God is doing things the hard way in your life, why he isn't providing the quick and easy solution that he is so capable of providing, why he isn't simply restoring that broken relationship, why he isn't removing that dreaded disease, or why he isn't causing that nasty neighbor or miserable coworker to move away. Sometimes God puts us in a hard place for a reason. Waiting to understand that reason is never easy. I won't pretend that it is. But that is where faith comes in. To know, to trust that God is working all things out for his good and for our good, for all of us who are called according to his purpose. And I just want to encourage you, if you're at that place right now and you're thinking, man, I can understand that. I'm there. I've wondered, why is God letting this happen the hard way? I don't always know the details, but I do know that God knows, that God cares, that God is there, and that God will see you through if you keep trusting and calling out to him. He will not let you down. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is a God who knows you, who loves you, and who is with you. Even when you don't sense it, he is there. I want to encourage you, trust him. Reach out to him. Call upon him. And we, the church, are here to encourage one another. Don't be shy about asking somebody to pray with you, to say, I need some help. I'm feeling pressed and crushed here. I need some help. Would you pray with me? That's what we're called to do. And God will. He will see you through. I know many of you can preach this sermon a whole lot better than me because you've been through it. You've seen it. You've experienced it. You've done that. You've been there. And God is there. And he will see us through. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to come before you this morning. And Lord, we recognize today just how much, Lord, that we truly do need you and depend upon you, Lord God. And I pray this morning that if there is anyone here who is perhaps at that place in their life when they're wondering, why is everything working so hard? Why isn't God answering this or providing an easier way out? I pray, Father God, that you would just be with them and encourage them. And Lord, pour your blessing upon them, Lord. I pray that you would give them strength. I pray, Father God, that you would give them confidence and the assurance, Lord God, that you are there. You are there with them and that you would never leave them nor forsake them. In fact, many times you would carry them as their needs would require. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to just call upon you, to trust in you, to look to you and lean upon you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.